It is Locked On Jazz for the 18th of December. James Harden annoys us all, and the Rockets. No, James Harden outduels the Jazz. We'll talk about a fabulous defensive performance, an offensive outage. We'll look at the rotations and more. All coming up, plus Time Machine Tuesday on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, the Jazz and the Rockets last night, and we'll talk about it. By the way, you can tell Siri, Google, or Alexa to play this podcast by saying, play podcast Locked On Jazz when you get in your car. Just tell your smartphone to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Okay, so let's review. Let's do our game review of last night, and then we'll dig into some details into last night's game and try to figure out. The Jazz defense last night was great. The game plan on Harden was terrific, and he scored 47 points. I mean, it's incredible. They forced him to his right hand, got him to drive into Gobert. He doesn't like to pass off that right-hand dribble. He likes to pass off his left hand. So he gets caught kind of in the middle, and he ends up missing a ton of shots. Doesn't get to the rim because Rudy's there. We brought a guy from the backside in on the legs of Capella. They got no lobs. It was really just a fabulously put-together plan by the Jazz. In fact, Mike D'Antoni, before the game, gave the coaching staff an amazing compliment. Basically said, we can't stay with our switching defense anymore because teams have spent the entire offseason preparing, and they're now beating it. And, you know, we got to just realize that we're in a different world than we were a year ago, because the coaches in this league and the preparation is that good. And that's exactly what Quinn did. I mean, he had specific play calls and sets that the Jazz ran against the Rockets and worked in Salt Lake City. And that was their Rockets' low moment. Since then, they've lost to Dallas, but won four straight good ones. And James Harden is just going bananas right now. And last night, his 47 annoys the hell out of you because he gets every foul call imaginable and this and that. I mean, I think some of them are ticky-tack. There's no question he traveled. It was just brutal that the NBA didn't call wasn't made. I mean, just brutal. But the fact is on Harden, you know, of his 16 free throws or 18 free throws, whatever crazy number it was last night, we probably fouled him on 14 of them. And it's the same thing with Kobe. It used to drive you crazy. It's the same thing with Mailman. The best players in the league are so good that they're able to do this. They're able to play the rules in a manner that they draw their fouls. 16 free throws last night. Every single time the Jazz broke their game plan last night, every single time Harden scored. You know, fortunate enough to go to shoot around, get that access, see what's going on with that. The game plan, Rubio executed it perfectly. Get up on him, take away that step back. Don't let him have his step back. His effective field goal percentage on his step back is like 80%. Make him go right. Drive him into Gobert. First two possessions when Rubio went out, Dante comes in and missed both of them. Crowder got on him. He drove on Crowder. Crowder the next time, now out of the game plan, worried about the drive. Understandable. Like, I got it. He beat you a moment ago because you're not that as athletic as he is, and you get up on tight end, he's too quick, and he beat you, but there's still a game plan. And he gets up on him, and Harden beats him, and they kind of, I think that's maybe the ticky-tack foul, maybe not. And then on the pretty good move by D'Antoni at one point in the game to drop Harden to the floor so Crowder gets matched on him, because Dante and Royce O'Neal and Ricky Rubio were doing great, great jobs and tiring him out. And Harden now sees Crowder back, so he steps back and hits the three, because Crowder now worried about getting beat, out of the game plan. They get Favors switched on him. Favors doesn't want to go as tight. Favors isn't really supposed to be quite as tight because he's a little bigger. Boom, step back three. It's incredible. He went 4 of 12 from 3. hit a dagger from the top on a play where Royce O'Neal, Ricky Rubio just miscommunicate for a brief second, steps back, whap. You're welcome to test him all you want for all the foul calls and everything else. He's not a highly playing above the rim athletic guy. He's a down on the floor. He's a herky jerky. He's a change of pace guy, and he's a absolute basketball maestro. He sees the game incredibly and understands the game at an amazing level. And it's incredible. What the Jazz did last night was forced him into shots where he's generally uncomfortable. And when he did not get to the rim last night, he was 0 for 7 in the paint non-restricted. And that was the plan. And it was executed really pretty well. And frankly, the offensive plan was executed pretty darn well, too. They got 18 corner threes last night. Defensive rating last night for the Jazz was a 97.6. The Rockets hadn't seen a team put a 97.6 on them in a long time. The Rockets are the number one offensive team in the NBA since they got rid of Carmelo. So the last 20 games are the number one offensive team in the NBA, and the Jazz defense last night was brilliant. Brilliant. Royce O'Neal cutting back behind. Dante getting back into lanes. Guys were great. Rubio's game plan on Harden. Terrific. Last night was their 32nd offensive performance of the year, so that's their single worst offense. Oh, no, excuse me. I got the wrong team there. That didn't surprise me, but that actually happened to be the Raptors, by the way, if you're wondering. So the Raptors' performance. Suddenly the Raptors go west and have to travel and play real teams, and after kicking the crap out of everyone and being totally dominant, now they're tired. Can't imagine how that works. Rockets last night was their 24th defensive outing. They were worse here in Salt Lake City. And the Jazz have just researched this team. The Rockets, who offensive rating is a 109. Their defensive rating this year, their offensive rating against the Jazz has been an 89, an 87, and then last night was a 94 because Harden went for 47. I don't know what state we're in, so it's not probably, you know, we gotta make the playoffs. It's gonna be hard. The Rockets, I don't feel good about. The Rockets have won four in a row. They've won four great games in a row. Everything's going to feel right in that world. The other level on it is that James Harden has to be absolutely incredibly superhuman for them to win right now. Right? They beat the Lakers. He went for 50 in a triple-double. They beat Memphis. He went for 32 in a triple-double. And they beat us by him going 47. Now, maybe he can keep that up. But if he wavers at any point in this process, they don't have a second player right now. Chris Paul looks really old. And Eric Gordon doesn't look right. The Jazz last, I mean, I don't know. I haven't known in a while here. Last night was the second consecutive just terrible offensive outing. And it all happened at the exact same point with a lot of different guys on the floor. The only positive thing I would say is you've just put up offensive ratings of 88.7 and 89.3, which are dreadful. And you lost by 7 and 5. The defense has really clicked back in. Not great against the Spurs and the Thunder, but otherwise, the Jazz defense has been great since the Lakers game when they just came back and, you know, the Kings ran by them on the 21st of November, and then the Jazz really got back to focusing to keep people out of transition. There was some unnatural shot-making going on against the Jazz. Since then, the Jazz have had a bad defensive game against Indiana, which was just a scheduling disaster. They beat Charlotte in a not very good defensive game, and then they weren't great defensively against the Spurs, and not great back-to-back defensively against the Thunder. It might not be a harder team in the league to play back-to-back than the Thunder. We get to do it again. But otherwise, the defense has been back to being incredible, which I think is a pretty good-sized positive there. All right, we're going to dig into what's gone wrong offensively, what the rotations are, what it means. Like, there's some funky, weird stuff going on, and I don't have the solution, but we'll try coming up next. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. I'm currently driving the brand-new Santa Fe. The items that come on the Santa Fe that are now just standard are so incredible. I told the story the other night about driving in that traffic jam up to Ogden and just put it on its adaptive cruise control with its lane protecting, and it was the first time a traffic jam didn't drive me bananas. The Santa Fe also has, I luckily haven't had to have it happen yet, but the Santa Fe also has the back door that reads whether or not there's oncoming traffic going on and saves you from having the door open up into traffic. It's pretty incredible. Amazing safety feature. The Safe Exit Assist, it's called. So, blind spot detection, 360 cameras, lane keep assist, adaptive cruise control, all safety assist, all standard. That's what Hyundai does. These great cars, amazing size, super drive, amazing pricing for all the standard features you get. Check it out at 4646 South State Street in Murray, as well as up in Logan, and say hi to Blake down in Linden. If you're shopping for a car, just make sure you put Hyundai on the list and take a look and go to their showroom and see what you can get for your dollar. Today's show is also brought to you by Mazuma USA. I want to thank a bunch of Locked On Jazz listeners who have joined Mazuma. I hope you're having great experiences. Please email me and give me your feedback so I can relay that to other people, what the experience is like. Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers is using it right now and just absolutely loves it. For $75 a month, if you have a small business, 1 to 5 employees, they'll do all your bookkeeping, all your reports for you. Unlimited consultation from a CPA, personal and business tax returns. You hook up. They get your information. They immediately give you a report. Every quarter, they have a tax call with you. First set of reports comes right away. Then every month after that, at the end of the year, all your taxes are organized and set for you. No contract, cancel any times, no hidden fees. It's MazumaUSA.com. Call 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102 or MazumaUSA.com. So, the last two nights, the game has fallen apart at the same time. With about 3 or 4 minutes left in the first quarter, things just go crazy dry for the offense. And then it's hard to regain the rhythm, and then, frankly, it's too hard to come back when you're not a highly overpowered offensive team. Some of it is just shooting, right? But some of it's got to be, I don't know what you do with it. Like, here's the weird one for me. So the easy answer is just to say, hey, you know what? In the last 6 games, our above-the-break three has been brutal. We're 28% in the last 6 games on above-the-break three. But you know what? In fairness, that's just me cherry-picking the 4 of 23 night against the beating the Rockets and surviving that the other night. If I go back up and back it up to the last 10 games, which is just a round number that has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm trying to find, and just find the last 10 games, well, guess what I find out? We're at 36% on the above-the-break three. So, you know, yeah, we shot, you know, Orlando, we went 4 against, or in Mexico City, went 4 of 21, and last night went 4 of 17 on above-the-break threes. But our three-point shooting is actually kind of what it is, and it's right. Like, if you can shoot 35, 36% above the break, it's worth all the points per shot and everything. Our corner three shooting is down a little bit. We got 18 corner threes last night. Some of them weren't as good a look as you would like. Some of them were forced up, but that's still a lot. What we have not done the last two nights shooting-wise is finish at the rim. We're 27 of our last 62 at the rim. You fix that, you win both those games. 27 of our last 62. The defense has been great. Driving the basket. You got to attack the basket. You know, in the paint, That little floater zone area is an area where we struggle. We're at 36% for the season. We're at 35 of 13 against Miami, 5 of 18 against Orlando, 5 of 13 against the Rockets. But what really, if we could avoid, I feel like, are these momentum swinging droughts. The momentum swinging droughts where, you know, it happens, but they take so much juice out of you to come back from, and you're playing from behind. We've only won one game all year where we've trailed at halftime, which is either the fewest in the NBA or the second fewest. I don't think Cleveland's won one yet. Those kind of things are tough. So last night, you look at the game in the first quarter, and we're playing really well. We're right there with them. Everything goes right. Rubio hits a shot, 4 minutes left, and now we start to go to our bench, and things start to fall apart. Rubio makes a shot to make it a 18-17 game. Rubio checks out. Gobert checks out. Favors checks it. Favors comes in for Crowder. Gobert checks it out. Favors comes in for Gobert, Cephalosha, and Exum. And then it just goes dry. Royce hits a three, and we make one field goal until Rubio hits a shot at the 7:15 mark of the second quarter. So looking who's on the floor in this game, when this happens, Royce O'Neal's on for a portion of it. Tabo's on for almost all of it. Derek's on as the center. This was, at this point last year, this was our prime offensive lineup. Dante is on, and definitely Dante, the offense gets, when Rubio leaves the game, the offense gets very stagnant and stops moving the ball the same way. Now, Ricky's not been any, you know, marvel recently. His turnover to assist ratio is 1-1 the last four games. So Quinn goes to Joe. Actually, I probably should back this up. Let's back this up to rotation-wise because it's interesting what Quinn did to try to adjust a little bit. So in the game against Orlando, Favors starts, but the same drought happens at the same exact time. I don't need to go back to it. And so who's on the floor? It starts with O'Neal, Exum, Crowder, Favors, and Ingles. So what is Quinn doing? He's trying to have Joe Ingles back out on the floor with Dante Exum to allow Dante to handle and allow Ingles and Favors to use their pick and roll together. It didn't work, right? It just didn't. Now, the defense was still very good against Orlando, and they stayed in the ballgame. And then Crowder subs out, and Tabo subs in, and the Jazz offensive rating with Tabo on the floor the last two games is like 60. Same thing for Dante. They're on the floor, some of it the same, but not all of it. Kyle Korver checks back in the second quarter against Orlando to try to get a little spark, and he isn't making that shot. Then Donovan finally comes back in. Things get a little bit better. Third quarter, it's the same grouping generally. It's Royce, Dante, Jay, Favors, and Joe Ingles comes right back in with Dante trying to create. It doesn't work again. Quinn's like, enough of that. He sits Dante. He comes back with the regular lineup and sits Joe. Part of what's going on here, by the way, is that Joe is in single digits. There's no need to zero in on one guy. Like, I have a tendency to do that. We all do. There's all little pieces here, right? So for whatever reason, when Tabo's on the floor, we're having a hard time scoring. He doesn't really bring you that three-point threat, and his drive to the game, his legs much better, and he's playing much better. But you can see he doesn't have quite the explosiveness. Dante, we just talked about it. Joe and Favors' pick and roll's not been great recently. And I'll dig into that for you in a second. That was like our go-to play, and now it's suddenly not very good. So last night, Quinn. Now Favors is going to be in that Crowder spot because Crowder's starting, which people want. And so we switch it around a little bit. But the lineup that's generally out there is Tabo a little earlier because Jay started. Derek, Dante, Kyle's on for a little bit, but Joe matches. Dante was out there for about 40 seconds as the point guard without Joe. And then that lineup rolls a little bit. starts to slow down. Korver comes back in, has a short stint because they then go small and put Harden on. Nick, I think so Harden was on him. Hard game for Kyle to play. Donovan checks back in. Rubio checks back in shortly thereafter, about a minute and a half left, and the drought is over. So we just haven't found the answer to the second unit was this Dante creating tempo, Ingles with favors grouping. That's not going right now. The pick and roll numbers of Joe Ingles, and they're usually so good, are not great right now. If we run a pick and roll with Joe Ingles and Derek Favors, it is a 0.85 points per possession compared to Gobert. It's a 1.07. That used to be a really big go-to play. Second half of last season, it wasn't great either. Donovan and Favors have no rapport together. Their pick and roll number is a 0.658. Rubio's actually pretty good with Faves. Rubio's pretty good with Gobert. The guy who's actually pretty good with Faves is Dante. The Dante Favors pick and roll is really good. Every guy gets their little feeling with another guy. What's important, I think, a little bit here is that we keep wanting to refer to this as the same team as last year. This is where it's probably the most obvious that this is not the same team as last year. So, you know, if we went to, well, Rudy would be out. So let's go to when Rudy comes back last year. So if we went to January of 2018, Rudy comes back in late January, right? So let's just find any random game. All right, I mean, our season turns January 18th. We beat the Lakers on January 26th. Should we take a look at that one? Let's see. I'm just randomly doing this. Oh, wait. I've gotten too far back because Trey Lyles is still on the team. Never mind. Wait one second. Let me re-archive this. I must have gone too deep into the... Popcornmachine.net's a really cool site. All right, yeah. I went into 2017. So let's go to January of 2018. Oh, that's interesting. Somehow on their archives, when you do that, you end up in 2017. All right, let's go to February of 2018. So we're hot now, right? We're rolling. We're really good. Let's find a half-decent win. I found Phoenix. I didn't well, we get blasted by Portland on the first night back from the All-Star break. We probably don't want that one. You know, we have forgotten that we weren't flawless. Let's all right, we beat a not very good Dallas team. Does that count what we want to look at? We lose to Houston. 96-85 on February 26th. This is right when we were rolling. Donovan, Ricky, all right. So if you look at our rotation then, this is really interesting because I think it's a pretty significantly different team. So our second unit last year, with the way we played it, was that Rubio went out at the 6:34 mark and Donovan stayed on the floor. Then playing with, and Rudy stayed on the floor, with Jay Crowder, Royce O'Neal, and then Jonas Jerebko would eventually check in for Derek Favors. So Donovan, at least in this game, and this was against the Rockets too. So in this game, Donovan stays on and plays the backup point guard. Then Rubio comes back, and when Rubio checks out at the 7:01 mark, Donovan's back out on the floor until the 2-minute mark. And then we closed that night, for whatever weird reason, the second half, maybe foul trouble or something, with Alec Burks at point guard. In the second half of that rotation, same thing. Rubio checks out the 6:22 mark. Donovan stays on with the ball in his hands till the 1:33 mark, at which point Rubio comes back in until the fourth quarter at the 8:54 mark, and Donovan plays out the rest of the way. Rubio checked back in to close. Okay, that's now Dante. That's very different. That's not the same at all. And it's not the same for Donovan either. Jay Crowder checked in, did a lot of the same things, but Jay Crowder actually in February was playing some three because Jonas was coming off the bench. The 5-minute mark, that's now Tabo. And Repko used to play kind of from the 5-minute mark of the first quarter to the 8-minute mark of the second quarter and call it good. That was kind of his night. 17 minutes, at least, against Houston that night. And then AB was playing some that are now Kyle Korver's minutes. So suddenly, on our backup second unit, three of the five pieces are different. I thought that was interesting. Let's go find another game. Let's go to March. We're rolling, right? March 2018. We're as good as we can be. Let's find a decent win, not just one of our wins that were late season. Why the late, you know, you'd push aside late season results. Beat Detroit. That's not a very good team. We'll probably, March 9th, beat Memphis. They're terrible. Beat Indiana by 20 on March 7th. This was a great win. Indiana had the victory. All right, so what did we do? We started Rudy, Joe, Donovan, Ricky, and Faves. And Ricky was playing great that night. He had a mammoth first quarter with 4 assists, 3 rebounds, a bunch of points. He checked out at the 9-10 mark, and Donovan stayed in all the way till the end of the quarter. Donovan closed the quarter with Jay Crowder, Rudy Gobert, Jonas Jerebko, Royce O'Neal. Then Howell Neto would played about 3.5 minutes, and before Rubio re-entered, and then Donovan re-entered at the 5-minute mark. Again, so our point guard play now is very different than that. So our rotation last year was Donovan playing a lot of one. Crowder came in and would play the four for about 3 minutes, and then Jerebko came in at the 2:49 mark, at which point he, Favors, and Jerebko all played together for the next 6 minutes. So Jay was actually playing a little bit of three here. Favors and Gobert would end up playing a little bit. That's a mile, you know, that's a good matchup for them on that night. But that bench unit then is O'Neal, Jerebko, Crowder, Favors, and Neto with Donovan in it before. Again, so let's walk that. That's Faves, he's still the same role. Crowder playing the three, not the same role. Jerebko playing the four, not the same role. Donovan or Neto, not the same guy. And O'Neal is the same guy, but playing the two. So, and I don't know how that team ever scored. So it's interesting to see how different this team actually is playing than it was a year ago, is my point. All right, that took too long. Today's show is brought to you in part by Grip 6 Belts, grip6.com. You can go to grip6.com/lock. If you're looking for that last bit holiday present, this is the answer for you. I love the Grip 6 belt. It's the only one I wear ever since Keenan jumped aboard, tipped me off to the company, sent me some samples. I called back and I was like, absolutely, we can advertise for you. Promo code is LOCK20, but they've got some other deals and they're nice enough to let you know. So if you go to grip6.com/lock, you can click on the page and then it will take you to some of the other deals that are going on. There's a beautiful women's new lineup. There's the honeycomb belt that's really, really cool, and the ninja belt for just $35. And then they have this thing you'll see that's the men's Christmas pack, but don't get that. Go to the lock page and you get a better deal. $89 for the classic pack, $33 off 3 buckles, 3 straps, including Grip 6 hanger. That's a pretty cool deal. Use LOCK89 as your promo code. Lowest public price ever on that item. Go to grip6.com. Get your last second holiday shopping done. It's pretty awesome stuff. You'll really like it. And a lot of guys who've worn it, Locked On Jazz listeners who are a little heavier, say it's really nice because the belt just doesn't cinch up on you in the same way as some others. All right, let's go play Time Machine Tuesday. He reaches into the hat. He grabs a year in Utah Jazz history, and we're going to find out what we were doing on December 18th of that year. And he grabs 1984. Interesting. This is the first year we ever made the playoffs. Oh, no, 84, we'd still be in December. We made the playoffs the year before. I think AD's still on the team. So 84, 85, December 18th. Let's find out. Let's go back into the archives. Frank Layden's our head coach. Thurl Bailey is manning as a rookie, I think. And on December 18th, the Utah Jazz played the Indiana Pacers in the midst of a five-game road trip. The Jazz lost the fifth game of the road trip, 88-81. They lost four in a row. Oh, they beat the Bullets to start the trip, lost to the Knicks, played a back-to-back in Boston, lost, played out in Milwaukee and then in Indiana before coming home for a, this looks fabulous. The Jazz played seven of their next eight at home over the Christmas break, including games against the Kansas City Kings. In the game, they lost 88-81 to the Indiana Pacers. The Jazz started the lineup of Ricky Green, Daryl Griffith, Adrian Dantley, Thurl Bailey, and Mark Eaton. Mark Eaton had 10 points, 13 rebounds, 8 blocks, but he did just go 4 of 14. The Jazz went 1 of 6 from 3 that night. Daryl Griffith hit the one. Adrian Dantley was 5 of 20 and only got to the line 3 times. Daryl Griffith was 12 of 30. Thank gosh for Thurl Bailey. 9 of 16 from the field. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. Indiana, this is a boring game. What a bad Time Machine Tuesday. We should do another one. Indiana had Vern Fleming, Herb Williams, Jerry Schiesting, Steve Stepanovich, and Clark Kellogg. They were 7-18. We were 12-15. That was a bad loss. People were freaking out on talk radio. Oh, there was no talk radio in 1984. That was a bad loss. You woke up as a kid and you got your little tiny square box score in the newspaper in the San Francisco Chronicle like me, and I was despondent at 14 years old. I was freaking out. My Utah Jazz had lost again. They'd lost four in a row, and I was super upset about it, I'm sure. The Warriors had lost in overtime that night. My other team I kind of followed, but not really, to the Denver Nuggets. I didn't really care about the Warriors. I only cared about the Jazz, quite honestly. I just was the Warriors in the backyard with Sleepy Floyd and Purvis Short and World Be Free. All right, just thought I'd share. That is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Super appreciate you. Locked On NBA this week. Trevor Booker on Thursday. Sam Amick on tonight's show. Ben Golliver's on today's show. Sam Amick coming up on tomorrow's show. And Trevor Booker on Thursday. Sounds great. Have a great one. Talk to you soon. See you. Bye.